Welcome to this edition of Radioactive Magazine. We have been engaging in a series of interviews with Ms. Pythia Pei, author of America on the Couch, on the changing aspects of the American psyche, and weaving in discussions on the Trump campaign and our environmental crisis. Ms. Pei is not able to be with us today, but we have with us Mr. Ken Buck, who is the president of the Kansas City Friends of Young and has been the moderator of a monthly discussion group in 2016, which has been using Ms. Pythia Pei's book, America on the Couch, as primary source material for group discussion, along with input from Ms. Pei each month to provide guidance on themes. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Okay. The issue of global warming has finally broken through in our political dialogue to some extent. There is a stark contrast between the current Republican and Democratic Party platforms, with the Republicans essentially denying global warming and the Democrats recognizing it as a significant challenge to humanity, with the recognition fossil fuel use must be significantly reduced. There has been a significant change in the Republican Party platforms from 2008 to 2016 on the global warming issue, with the 2016 platform taking a very strong denialist position. In 2008, the Republican Party recognized the role of humanity in adding carbon to the Earth's atmosphere, and I quote, "The same human economic activity that has brought freedom and opportunity to billions has also increased the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. Common sense dictates the U.S. should take measured and reasonable steps today to reduce any impact on the environment." In 2008, they affirmed that alternative energy sources must enter the mainstream, affirm the values of conservation and efficiency, and advocate for the role of coal in achieving energy independence. They also call for the enactment of reasonable policies that do not force Americans to sacrifice their way of life. They affirm the value of technological innovation and use of the market. In stark contrast to the 2008 platform, the 2016 Republican Party platform is full of strident oppositional statements. For example, the EPA Clean Power Plan is a war on coal by the Obama administration, and they will do away with it altogether. President Obama killed the Keystone XL pipeline to satisfy environmental extremists, and they will finish the Keystone XL, along with others like it, to further North American energy security. They assert the UN International Panel on Climate Change is a political mechanism with unreliable scientific results. The platform rejects the agenda of the 2015 Paris Agreement and insists it is not a binding agreement until the Senate ratifies it. The Republican Party platform states the environmental establishment has become a self-serving elite, with their approach based on shoddy science, scare tactics, and centralized command and control regulation. They state the Democratic Party environmentalist extremists must reach farther and demand more to sustain the illusion of an environmental crisis. The platform calls for environmental regulation by the states and the transforming of the EPA into a bipartisan commission with structural safeguards against politicized science. Ken, and hearing the extreme change in tone from the 2008 to the 2016 Republican Party platform, what are your thoughts about the social dynamics involved?
I think the most obvious point that comes up to me is that the Republicans have the Republican platform essentially does away with the problem of global warming. I looked through some of their platform, and for example, they talk about cleaner waterways and less air pollution as more or less proof that the environment is getting better. They don't mention carbon in the atmosphere. They don't mention global warming. It just seems that they have eliminated the problem. It reminds me of a quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald in his series of essays called Crack Up, where he says, "The measure of a true intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in your mind and still retain the ability to function." He went on to say, to give a general example of to be able to understand and realize that there's a problem, but still be able to work out a solution for it. Right. And that's what I see the Democratic platform doing, is they're acknowledging the issue and they're saying we are taking steps to work at that issue, whereas the Republicans have said there is no issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the Democratic Party platform, they do talk about, they state, and I quote, "Democrats believe that climate change poses a real and urgent threat to our economy, our national security, and our children's health and futures." And they talk further about the need to reduce fossil fuel emissions 80% below 2005 levels by 2050. So they're recognizing that there's a problem and proposing goals, to try to shoot for.
Exactly.
And, so what's going on? I know that the very first part of the Republican Party platform in 2016 immediately goes to the idea that America is an exceptional country, and I'm not so sure I recall that so much of an emphasis in the 2008 Republican platform. So what's going on here collectively that the Republicans have become so much more rigid and dogmatic on this issue?
Really, who knows? What I see happening is that the Republicans have this idea: we are special, we're an exceptional country because of our history, because of our form of government, and granted, we are. But the tone that I get from that elevates Americans above other people. Not only is the country different, but in a way it is superior to other countries.
Right.
And that feeds into the idea that we can do whatever we want to do.
Right.
The platform mentions God-given resources. So, they're here for us to take and use as we want to. And so in the face of scientific evidence about climate change, one way to maintain the status quo of American exceptionalism as the Republicans see it is to do away with the science. I remember when I was probably in middle school and probably into high school, I would receive some bulletins from a creationist organization. I don't remember the exact name of it, but they basically did the same thing with evolution and dinosaurs. They dismissed all of the science around that. This was probably back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So they would claim that a paleontologist finds one bone and then constructs an entire dinosaur around that bone.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 70s, it was shoddy science related to evolution. Now we have shoddy science related to the environment and global change.
Right, right. The thing about there has to be, I know that in prior discussion with Pythia Pei, there's been. She talked about having compassion for Trump supporters and the fact that many of the people that supported Donald Trump had literally lost economically over the last 30 years or so, and that they had lost financially, and that they had lost in many cases men had lost their identity as providers for their family. And so there, this discussion around the fact that there is a loss of a feeling of control, and given that idea, then wouldn't the fact that that people are just struggling, that there's a great deal of more economic struggle now than there was 30 years ago. Wouldn't that have some sort of collective effect in people's ability to react rationally? Or maybe I'm reaching here, but
no, I would say that the feeling of loss of control make people more open to some external locus of control. And that might be what this whole Take Back America, I noticed, I think in England, they were saying the same thing. We're going to take back our country. I think I've seen yard signs in Kansas, take back our state or take back Kansas. Uh-huh. This idea of we need to get control back because as an individual, I feel like I've lost it due to economic factors and other things. And here's somebody who promises to give it back to me. Mm-hmm. I think one of the other things that might be going on here is Donald Trump's self-assuredness. I think people are projecting a lot of their own, perhaps individual uncertainty onto this person who seems very, very self-assured. And, you know, in in-depth psychology, that would be called a projection. So Donald Trump has, we call it a hook to hang the projection on. So Donald Trump portrays himself as a very assured, self-sufficient, self-supported, I don't need anybody else kind of person. And so our own insecurities we can do away with by hanging them on his hook and projecting onto him what we really need to take for ourselves. Okay. And so this leaves you open to not really thinking clearly about things when it comes to him, because he's holding your projection that is really unconscious to you. And so there's a very unconscious dynamic and influence going on around him as a man and as a political figure.
Right. But it's bigger than Donald Trump, though, because the Republican Party platform, they really have, they're full of strident and very oppositional statements in relation to the Democrats and particularly in relation to global warming. And it's just, there really is a dynamic going on here that truly scares me personally.
True. In preparing for this, I was looking online and I ran across a Washington Post article who mentioned an op-ed written by Paul Ryan, I think in 2009. And they kind of linked this change as echoing Ryan's op-ed piece. And I've seen some numbers where a large portion of Republican politicians don't believe in climate change, have, you know, the same view that Donald Trump is offering. You know, I think Donald Trump is the face of the Republican Party, so you know a lot gets hung on him. Mm-hmm. A lot of the projection gets hung on him because he's the face there. You know, doing away with the problem is the easiest solution. You know, if you think there's a problem,
just declare it's not so.
And you walk away, problem solved.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, that doesn't. I know. When we were discussing earlier, I was talking about how the Republican Party, at least from my viewpoint, is they're painting themselves into a very tight corner in relation to these attitudes towards global warming and the use of fossil fuels And I share with you that it looked to me like a historical dead end for them. And
right. And I think the only thing that you can do is sort of up the ante. So, at first you say, oh, global warming's not a big issue. We can wait. And then global warming's not that much of an issue. It's natural earth cycles. We're not doing anything. Then you have to start attacking the scientists. The science is shoddy. In the Republican platform, they talk about the cleaner waterways. They talk about reduced air pollution, seemingly as a way of saying, look, there's no evidence of global warming here.
Yeah, they do. They do point to that, but those results are a consequence of establishing the Environmental Protection Agency and passing the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act.
Exactly.
A variety of environmental laws that were passed back in the 70s, and there's some real. I don't know. It just seems to me there's a significant distortion of thinking by the Republican Party platform, along with very sort of bifurcated, you know, thinking in terms of, you know, kind of very extreme good versus extreme bad dynamic going on here. And another thing that I know one of the things that Pithy Pei and I talked about was she talks about how the American dream, sort of a fundamental myth in our culture, is the American dream, where the idea that you can put forth a great personal effort and improve your circumstance and achieve a place in the world I know in one of, I think our most recent discussion, she talked about how the American dream is essentially dead. I mean, I think there's just the amount of student debt that students have to go through to get an education just to get a BA, and mm-hmm. a BA is equivalent to what a high school education used to be. At least I'm not totally sure about that, but the reality that wages have stagnated for quite a long period of time, and the amount of wealth inequality, and just opportunities for many Americans just aren't there like they used to be. So I don't know, to me that reality has to play into somehow with increased irrationality.
But I think it does. You're right, the American dream, you know, in quotes, the American dream does seem to have kind of vanished. And, you know, I think there's another hook that Donald Trump has for our projection, in that, you know, his statements show that he has lived the American dream. He has made his own money. He doesn't need billionaires to support his campaign. If you listen to him talk about his life, it really does sound like the iconic American dream. So he's out there promising this to everyone in a way. And, you know, part of what the Republican platform doesn't like about global warming is how expensive it's going to be to fix. It's going to be extremely expensive. People are going to have to make personal concessions. Mm-hmm. Businesses are going to have to spend a lot of money to clean up plants to make them less carbon emitting.
Yeah, more efficient.
More efficient. Mm-hmm. And all of that piled on top of this perceived loss of the American dream is just sort of too much. Uh-huh. So by eliminating the problem of global warming, you're taking that burden off the shoulders of the American people, so that they don't have to look forward to more economic decline, more concessions on their part.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think along with that is if you say that global warming's not a problem and you take any sense of guilt, you know, from the U.S. historically being the biggest emitter over the last 100 years, and China surpassed us annually a little while ago, you take away all the all that collective guilt from having 5 or 6% of the population contributing a major a major percentage of CO2 emissions per year. You know, I think one author that I kind of would like to highlight in Pitya Pei's book is Mary Pfeiffer. She's a clinical psychologist, an author, and a Keystone XL activist in Nebraska. And in talking with Pitya Pei about America's denialism of global warming, she said, and I quote to Pitya Pei, she said, the amount of psychic energy America spends in denial around this urgent and terrifying issue is enormous. This resistance to facing climate change isn't just a passive process. It's a very active process that requires us to continually disconnect from our senses, our emotions, our bodies, our friends, our neighbors, and even reality. And Pitya Pei writes about Mary Pfeiffer that Mary Pfeiffer unflinchingly writes of the suicidal behavior of our species is engaged in, how our collective denial and disconnection from reality puts us at risk for what could be called a psychotic state. Mm-hmm. So you have this incredible bifurcation between the Republican Party platform of 2016. They don't even hardly use the phrase climate change, and when they talk about energy, they might, but I'm not recalling it. You know, it's all about environmental extremists and creation of the illusion of an environmental crisis, and that we're going to do away with the EPA and their regulation of CO2, and you have this completely opposite statements in the 2016 Democratic Party platform. So you have, you know, in our society, you have diametrically opposed statements of truth, and or diametrically opposed statements of your version of the truth, and the Republican Party platform has morphed from a 2008 platform, which was somewhat reasonable on global warming, to a 2016 platform, which is in denial of reality, basically. So you have this profound cultural split, which is somehow it has to be resolved, and I'm not sure exactly how you resolve it, but it can't continue. I mean, it can't continue in this extremely tribal difference. There has to be some sort of movement and resolution, and in order for us to truly move forward. And I don't know what that would be, and it might be too much to ask you to say what that would be. But to me, this is a very dangerous. This is a very untenable situation. It can't continue. In the arc of history, this is an untenable situation.
It is, you know, again, turning to depth psychology, Carl Jung talks about consciousness as differentiation. So the way we learn, especially children, is we learn what a horse is and what a horse isn't. So we distinguish, this is a horse, this isn't a horse. So, you know, this is the color orange, and then here's examples of things that are not orange. So we differentiate things. Mm-hmm. And this sets up a polarity of, you know, this and that. And that polarity extends to right and wrong and all kinds of polar thinking. You know, you get to the point where you've got Democrats and Republicans who are diametrically opposed to each other, and bipartisan action seems almost impossible these days. Now, the idea in depth psychology is, okay, you split things apart to learn about them and to understand them. Then what you need to do is put them back together, and there's a third thing that comes out of that reunion of the two. And that third thing is the answer. So it's, you know, we global warming, yes, it exists. No, it doesn't. So we have this polar split here, but if you what we need to do as a nation is put these things that are totally split, we need to put them back together and see what comes out of it. So we need to hold these two things in our mind at once, mm-hmm. instead of just leaning to one side or the other. It's like that Fitzgerald quote, we have to hold both things in our, we have to be able to hold both things and still function. And that's where the solution comes from. It doesn't come from maintaining a one-sided view of things.
Well, yeah, there is a profound split from the Republican Party and Democratic Party platforms on global warming, and there is I know that things change and that there's always movement we have to hope that the stridency and the opposition of the Republican Party platform starts to come back closer to their position in 2008, and because it's there, and there are moderate Republicans out there who probably don't share the strident and oppositional tones of the current Republican Party platform. So, so on that note, I think we're going to have to we've run out of time, Ken. And
okay,
you know, thank you very much for being on the show. Very much appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.